The Knowledge Center.
It's Mark Husson's Astrology Hour. Time for you to expect something wonderful.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome. It's Mark Husson. This is Mark Husson's Astrology Hour coming to you live Monday, January 20th, 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. on the East Coast. How the hell are you? We're having a heat wave here. Yes, indeed, we're having a heat wave. Let me let Alexa tell you. Alexa, what's the weather?
Currently, in Larkspur, it's minus 7 degrees Fahrenheit with partly sunny skies. Today, you can expect an abundance of clouds and snow flurries, with a high of 3 degrees and a low of minus 11 degrees. Also, there's a cold weather advisory in effect until Tuesday, January 21st, 9 a.m.
That says it all. How you doing? Hope you're warm. It's what'd she say, 3 degrees? Yeah, it's saying minus 7. It's minus 7 right now. So, we're cold, but we're warm. How are you doing? If you're new to the show, come on over to the Facebook page. Get there by going over to 12radio.com and click the chat link on the left-hand side. You'll see the word chat. Otherwise, you can go to Facebook, and I think you can search for 12radio groups. You have to be invited in, or you have to be accepted in. But if you get there, I think I put my thing up here. I got to pin it to the top, which I did not do. I don't think I did. Let me see. Pin. Whatever. Look for it. It says you're listening to Mark Husson's Astrology Hour, January 20th. And then you can type right below that, okay? So I've given up how to figure where to put these things. But you'll find it. And then if you get there and you see the comments, there'll be several comments. Click them. And then at the very top of those comments where it says most relevant, change that to all comments, and you'll see Laura in the house. Hi, Laura. How you doing? Lynn's here. Hi, Lynn. Thank you. Mark and what's the family? Happy to be here with you all today. I wonder if it's a holiday for you guys. Serena's in the house. Good morning, Serena. I got to say, I love starting my week out with your show. Isn't she an angel? Serena's our new producer and also an extremely gifted, intuitive psychic over at 12listen.com. So aren't we lucky? We're so lucky. Let's see who else is in the room. Pamela's here. Hi, Pamela. Peace out. Truly's here. Love it. Happy birthday, Aquarius is right. Penny's here. Eva's here. It could be Eva. Eva, if it's Eva, hi. If it's Eva, hi. Happy Monday, Renee. Thank you guys so much for being here. I'll check the room. I know it's a little early. We're just getting a little started here and warmed up. It's Aquarius birthday. It's Martin Luther King Day. And the inauguration is today. I know you guys are like, there's a lot going on. I know so many mixed feelings and so many things rolling around. I want to make sense of them. If you're new to the show or if you have not gotten on the mailing list, I'm begging you to get on that mailing list. You just go to 12 House, H-O-U-S-E, 12HOUSE.com and sign up. You'll see, sign up. Sign up for the newsletter, sign up for everything. And I'll put you on my radio list and we'll send you the charts out, which I do. And I know a lot of you can't read that and it's okay. It's playful. It's fun. It's like, I know you'll get it intuitively just by talking about it. But what you'll notice on that chart is the circle with the dot in it at the like noon position, right up there near the noon position. You'll see a circle with a dot. That's the sun. It says 0 degrees and then the sign of Aquarius under it. And that's telling us that the sun just went into Aquarius, meaning no more Capricorn for a year. At least by transit, and no more Capricorn in Pluto. So for 14 years, I believe. No, I'm sorry, for 240 years. So yeah, piece of cake. We'll see it soon. Now, Pluto's at 1. The sun is at 0, and the sun moves 1 degree a day. So just let all the words just mean, just relax a little bit. You don't have to figure it out. But if you're at 0 and the next move is 1 and that happens tomorrow, we're going to see the sun and Pluto together in the sky. Now, if you've been following me at all, then you know that Pluto, anything, if you know the order of the planets, then you know that the planets that are farthest from the sun have the most influence on the planets closer to the sun. So, As an example, Pluto's the farthest planet from us. So Pluto, when it's next to something more personal, like your sun sign or your moon sign, has a great influence over those things. So understanding Pluto gives you an insight into some of your more personal needs. Some of you might look at your chart, and that's what Pluto looks like. If you're seeing the chart, it looks like a head. It looks like a person reaching their arms up, and the head's in the middle and the two arms on either side. It's very sweet. If you have that anywhere in your chart, prominent, which means someplace next to something personal, then you're going to be expressing Pluto. So some people have it near their rising sign, for example, and they're very intense, okay? Some people have it near their sun sign. They're very intense. If you're a Scorpio, you already know all this because your ruler is Pluto, and so you do Pluto anyway. So you look for that dance where people are comfortable with this energy. And then you look in the sky, what's happening, and Pluto's bringing in a message. And so we need to sort of interpret the message a little bit. One of the things is, and the reason I'm talking all this stuff, that I know some of you are like, okay, just plain English, and I get it. If you aren't used to Plutonian energy, it can scare the hell out of you. Because it's like, have you ever seen a Scorpio when they're sort of like, don't like you? They sort of brood and squint and they look like they're looking right through you. And you know that feeling where you know that, like, I was just thinking about this the other day. There's a feeling you get when you know somebody doesn't like you, that there's nothing you can do to change their mind. Nothing. Scorpios are like that. Aquarians are like that. Leos are like that. Tauruses are like that. But Scorpio has the piercing, I don't give a F about what you think about me, and I'm coming after you. That kind of thing. Like, I see you. I see you. And so it's really different when it's in when it's a Scorpio doing it. But that energy, I want you to remember, that energy is Plutonian. It doesn't matter what sign the Pluto was in. If Pluto's next to something that you have in your chart, for example, if Pluto is next to a Cancer moon you have, you are that energy when you're mad. And you're that energy when you're looking at somebody piercingly. If you have Pluto on your rising sign, you carry that energy. And you're the people who go, I don't know why everybody's so afraid of me. Everybody's just so afraid of me. And like no ability to reflect on just what happens and why people tremble when they see your stuff's been activated. So what we have tomorrow is we're going to have that kind of energy, this sort of scorpionic, but now I got to divide this up a little bit. Pluto is in Aquarius. The sun is in Aquarius. So we first have to understand what Aquarius is. And then we sort of deepen the experience of Aquarius by dipping it into some scorpionic vibe. So first off, we have to talk about Aquarius. Let's talk about Aquarius. The myth is a fun one. It has to do with a very jealous Zeus, who's very fragile. His ego is very bad. If you saw the very short-lived series, I think it was Titans or something like that. I forget the name. I mentioned it here before. But Jeff Goldblum plays the very egocentric Zeus in a very beautiful way. He did a good job. And Zeus's ego is really huge. And so he didn't want, like, he was like, mankind is getting a little big for themselves. So forget y'all. I'm like, I don't want them to have, you know, any advances. So I'm going to keep, you know, stuff away from them. And so there's a story in the myth that Prometheus, who is the representative here of Aquarius, even though Zeus is also a little bit, Prometheus goes, he tries to trick him. He takes a calf and they slaughter this cow and they put the beautiful fleshy parts in this ugly stomach sack. And then they take the bones, bare bones, and they put it into another sack but it's more beautiful. It's like a beautiful leather bound bag. And they show to Zeus and say, which one should the humans get? And Zeus goes, ha, give him that ugly one, which is full of like raw meat and really the good parts of the cow. So Prometheus does. He gives humans the flesh, and Zeus gets the bones. And Zeus saw that he was tricked. He was so furious. He said, let them eat raw meat then, and kept fire from humankind, right? So Prometheus, hating to see that happen and not seeing the threat that humans would bring to Zeus, because the threat here is that they would become intelligent. They'd have knowledge. We got to keep knowledge from them. We can't let them. You see that theme in the Adam and Eve story where don't eat of the tree of knowledge. Don't eat that apple. So Prometheus sneaks out and takes them fire. And there's a whole bunch of stories of how he does it, but he takes them fire. And most of you understand that he's punished severely for it. Now, Zeus could have destroyed him, just could have sent him into smithereens and disintegrated him and said, boof. No, instead he tied him, chained him to a wall and had his liver eaten out every day, right? And it grew back and it was eaten out again. Da, da, da. And so let's just stop right there and talk a little bit about Aquarians and where that comes into play. Wherever you have Aquarius in your chart, if you're an Aquarius moon, Aquarius sun, Aquarius rising, if you have Aquarius on the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th through 12th house somewhere, you struggle with the sense of belonging. You struggle with the sense of having knowledge and a guilt about it. You struggle with the sense of wanting to fit in. And if you know an Aquarian, and if you have a planet in Aquarius, there's a part of you that realizes that there is a push against being normal, like a serious push against being normal. If you have Saturn in Aquarius, it's really intense. There's a push against being normal, but there's also this other fear of like sometimes normal is what we need to not only fit in, but to get things done. Because, you know, society has said that this could work, so let's do it. So Aquarians are in a constant battle, not only with feeling that they deserve to have something, because they look around and see other people don't have it, so they struggle with that. They struggle with the key of knowledge, because they have knowledge, but then they struggle with what that knowledge has done in terms of separating them from the normal people. So there's a lot of shoulds and guilt born into Aquarius mind. So now let's even make it more personal. You bring it into a child who's born as an Aquarian, a child who's born with an Aquarius moon, a child who's born with an Aquarius rising, and they're looking at the world like, I do not understand you guys. What happened? Am I way ahead of the game? Am I too far behind the game? Why don't I fit in here? Because they want to do things differently. So Aquarians develop the skill, because it's a fixed air sign. It's air. It's everything happens in the mind, and it's fixed air, which means it's sort of a mind that is made up. Whatever they put together as their belief, in their firm belief, is what is the only reality that can exist. So, okay, yes, stubborn, but stubborn in the mental way. So an Aquarian makes a decision about how things should be, and that's kind of it. And trying to change that mind, because what happens is they go, there are homeless people and that is bad, right? And they hold that is bad. And so that gives them some good virtue. And they're fighting their guilt the whole time, is my point. They take a position, they defend it, and then they become zealots about that position because the other side of that position is so guilt invoking. Like, we need to end homelessness, and there are advocates about it, but nobody's going to, like, you know that thing? Nobody's going to stay at my house. Nope, you ain't going to bring them here. But you need to find a place for them, because they have rights too. And then you have the Aquarian dictator who believes that everyone should be free and everybody should have equal rights under the law, and then runs their house like a dictator. Rules out the butt. And I've known so many Aquarians have so many strict rules. I've known Aquarians that make Virgos look like slobs in their best moments because of the OCD nature of the mind where things are supposed to be. And if you have an Aquarius moon, it's worse. And the other thing about it is because it's a fixed sign and because it's air, it tends to have a ton of ego behind it. And so what you see now, the shadow part of having a lot of ego is what? Not feeling that great, right? But so a lot of even though a lot of Leos get like, pay attention to me. I'm so, you know, I need your love. They need your love because they clearly don't have the ego. Aquarians are like, I don't give an F about you. I don't care. Agree or disagree. But if you agree, come on, we'll go further. And if you don't, I don't see you anymore. It's like, it's very, it can be icy. And you all know that part. We all have it. I have Aquarius on my fourth house. And I'm one rare Cancer who does not collect things. I don't care about memorabilia. It's kind of nauseating to me. It really is. Now, we talked last week, I like old clocks and I like old, you know, antiques and that sort of, it had a time before me and you're not going to see, you know, craftsmanship like this. But I can let it go. And I have that in my fourth. And it's sort of like a ruthlessness about it. I don't care. Burn it. I don't care. What would you save if the house burned down? All living things. It's very Aquarian. Wherever you have Aquarius in your chart, same thing. Now, where does that lead us? It leads us to this Pluto in Aquarius, which is dawning on an entire nation, world, generation. And for the next 14 years, that's two generations of people going to be infused with an Aquarius Pluto. And when Pluto is in Aquarius, it sort of takes the desire to hunt the truth and discover the truth. And do you see the problem? It's the truth that you decide is the truth. And once you do that, it's like there's no changing it. So we have this potential of people being sort of everyone being a monarch. And I'm not throwing sort of subtle innuendo at the administration of the government. What I am throwing it is in your assessment of that and your inability to change it. And it's going to be really interesting because the other thing that Aquarius rules is technology, like in a giant way. And we're seeing technology going to skyrocket, and you know that that's going to be true. It's the AI technology, but it's beyond that. It's like, what happens after AI robotics? What happens after that? It's like, what's the new thing? And what's fire? What's going to be the symbol of fire to mankind? And who's going to be the savior? Who's going to be the Prometheus that brings it down? And what's the punishment for that? It is going to be fascinating. And we're watching it right now because right now, as Pluto brings its gift into the first phase, because it's at 1 degree, the first gift, look around. It's AI, the first gift. And I know you're saying gift and curse, right? Of course. Because every bright thing casts a shadow. But we're seeing, first of all, this sort of AI thing. And then we're seeing a globalization of the world. We're seeing a uniformity in the world. There's a recognition. There's a humanitarian concept coming up. It's rising. And the world's going to seem smaller. So we'll see what happens. But we got to watch it. Now, tomorrow, the sun's going to be next to Pluto, activating it for everybody, like in a really personal way. So if you wake up tomorrow and you're a little bamboozled and you feel confused and you hear all the, like, and I'm strongly suggesting that you create your media sources online through people that you enjoy, that you love, that you trust, and not just like the old system of what used to be called news. That was another destructive effect of Pluto in Capricorn. And it's going to be one of the rebuildings of Pluto in Aquarius. No one's going to get their news anymore from one source. It's going to be multiple sources. And we're going to be grateful for it. We're going to be better off for it. The days of Walter Cronkite, if you all remember who that might be, are gone. Where one trusted source, one trusted voice brought us what was happening. That's not it anymore. Now you can go evidentiary-based news. There's news that's based on, like, this is the document. This is what happened. This is what they said. You have debate about it. You have intelligent people talking about it. It's a whole new concept. And it's Jupiter and Gemini is really helping with that. So as we enter this birthday cycle for Aquarians, we're entering also a new age. And it is kind of the age of Aquarius. This part, Pluto and Aquarius, kind of dawns us into this new age. It's a new factor. I mean, you think about how different things are. Think about how really different things are. Like before you know it, people have a quote unquote smart home. Like John was like, how do I turn off this light? And I grab my phone. Or I tell Alexa to turn it off. I mean, it's just built in. Like, I don't know. I don't even know how to, please don't turn it off manually. Please let me do it like that. And that's now. So let's keep an eye on that. Tomorrow when the sun goes into Aquarius, we're going to feel it. Now, if you wake up tomorrow or you're feeling it now, you're feeling intense, you're feeling dread, you're feeling, there's so many things to think about and you're overwhelmed, then you're doing the negative part of Pluto. If you wake up and you feel like I can follow what I believe here and I can follow my passions and I can follow my heart and I can do this with integrity and I can stay open, you can fight that. You can fight that drudgery with a sort of openness to just learn, be open. Try to tell yourself that whatever conclusions you're drawing may not be permanent or may not be the right conclusion. Because sometimes we think something's perfectly logical to make the conclusion and it's completely does make complete sense, but it's completely insane. Careful who I don't even like to throw caution. I think this is an amazing time period. Neptune is going to go into Aries soon. Jupiter is in Gemini. We are seeing the air revolution, the fire revolution of inspiration, and it's real. And we're going to get out of this sort of murky, heavy. The good part of Capricorn is structure and safety, and we knew what foundations were what. The terrible part of Capricorn is that it's relentless on the old ways. And we're paving a way for a new ideal, a new way. And Capricorn's no longer here. Mercury's in Capricorn still. So we still have to get our minds wrapped around what's going on. But right now in the sky, air and water are dominating. There is not a drop of fire that you can find anywhere in any of the personal planets or any of the outer planets, except for Chiron, which kind of doesn't count. Fire is nowhere to be found. And what does that mean? Inspiration. Okay? You could easily go into worry and fret if you let yourself. And the only other option you have is your mind, a way to bring it up. The only other option you have to confront the fear and the dread that a water sign can collect is a voice that says, you know what? You can have those feelings, just take them to the other end, but you also can raise yourself up and look at it. You can also direct where your attention goes. I have a friend that can only read the terrible parts of the world. You would not believe the letter I got in the mail yesterday. You just would not believe it. Email I got. Dark and scared and dreadful, and you just watch, and it's like, wow, I'm not feeding myself that. I mean, and I'm not rah-rahing this into like, okay, let's just talk all positive and stuff. I'm a realist. I want to do well. And you know what? I am also a realist in the sense of these people don't care about me. These people keep bringing into my consciousness, they don't care about me. They don't know me. I got to do this. I have a responsibility. Old Capricornian, Mercury in Capricorn, I got a responsibility to my dogs, to my partner, to my friends, to you. To keep positive, is there really hope or is this something to worry about? Is there ever anything not to worry about? Never. So if there's always something to worry about, we know that's cooking. What are you cooking to make it the counter to it? What are you doing to say, okay, in my day-to-day, I have a world here. I got to go to work. I got to make money. I got to build. I want to remodel this color of paint. I'm tired of looking at this damn green. I want to change things up a minute, and I want to bring some joy to my personal moment. And then if I want to take a minute later tonight and sort of dip into what's happened in the news and what's happened in the world, I'll do that. That's me. You guys going to watch every nuance, every move, every word? You're going to let it get in? That's okay. Just choose it. I got to see how y'all are doing. Moon goes into Scorpio a little later, right? I think during the show. Like, right? Yeah, I think the moon just went into Scorpio. I got to check. This is funny. But I think the moon, I think, let me hit like current transits. Yeah, that's right. Okay. No, let's see. No, it's a little later. It's in Libra right now. So we haven't really, and you'll like it when it goes into Scorpio. That's a promise. Okay. Let me hit refresh on the page and bring you all into the storyline. See how you're doing. Okay. I'm hitting more comments. And I found Jennifer Locksmith's in the house. Jennifer's an extraordinary astrologer. She has a YouTube channel, and she also reads it Want to Listen. Reach out to her. See what her opinion is about what's going on. Hello, Mark. This is from Letitia. When you asked Alexa for the weather, mine went off too. How funny. I forgot that that would happen, Letitia. That is so funny. I got your Alexa. I got to quit saying it. Yeah, that's so funny. I love that. Thank you for letting me know. Maya, how you doing? Judith, good morning. We're thawing out today. I bet you guys have been in a deep freeze because we got your weather. It's 21 degrees in Mexico. Y'all need to put on the bathing suits. I love that. Suzanne, great to hear you live. This Aquarian is feeling the energy today, trying to stay in balance and hopeful. My birthday week, Aries moon, Scorpio rising. Oy vey. No, that's lovely. We'll talk about it, Suzanne. And good morning. Good day to be three main signs in one. Yeah, that's right. It is. I'll talk about that too. Charlene, good morning. Watching geese fly overhead. Six of them get in their V formation. Oh, I feel like this one goose who isn't quite getting it. That's so cute. They will. It'll kick in. DNA stuff. Truly, Saturn in Aquarius, Mercury in Aquarius. Is this you, Truly? It is you. Look how in line you are with what's happening in the world. Good stuff, Truly. Okay, yeah. And, oh, yeah, you have late degree Aquarius. This is good. Many years from now, when Pluto hits your Saturn, it's like amazing breakthroughs. Judith says she was bamboozled in the morning tomorrow. Bamboozled in the morning is my normal. Karen, good morning. Karen Erickson's here. Aquarius is my ninth. Someone once told me that I sometimes act holier than thou. I was surprised, as this is not my intention. Maybe they were doing something wrong. But I do reflect on feedback. That's the right thing to do. Yeah, you know, Virgo can be this, I call it the schoolmarm energy. They can have a righteousness to them. All my Virgo friends have it, and I know many are listening. There's a righteousness that comes through. They don't mean it, but it's in there, and I have it. I remember yesterday I was talking to somebody, and I could hear I know what it was. I was playing in my on my Fun Casino online, and I was criticizing everything, and I noticed how my mind was just sort of like, God, this is like nothing. You just always find the flaw. Oh, and I have Jupiter in Virgo, and I always find the flaw. It's like, this kind of what I do. So, and I see Virgos that sort of, you know, they say one thing, but you can feel the judgment coming out, just seething out. And I know I have that. So I can say that. So it might look holier than thou because we're sort of taken aback with how ludicrous people can be sometimes. And I know Virgo can go there. Remember, it was Astraea, the Virgo goddess, that got offended when competition entered mankind. And she's like left, like, And it's only Virgos who have ever left me a note and left my show going, it's clear, like they made a decision. It's very Aquarian-like. You expect Aquarians to do it. But I think Aquarians don't even need to be noted for it. You just don't exist anymore. Virgos kind of want to make sure you know. Anyway, I could go on. Good morning, Tara. I love that GIF. That's so cute. So, and I will hit refresh, you guys, and check in on you. Okay, so let's plan this out a little bit. Pluto is now firmly in Aquarius. It's already been here. It was here last year at this time, and it was a lighter time. It was an easier time. Because at the end, when a planet gets to the end of a sign series, it gets heavy and it gets, okay, can we be done with this now? And that's how Capricorn was. In fact, Capricorn went back in just for the election to say, let's do this one more time. And, so, okay, it did. And so, there it is. And now we're in Aquarius now, and we get a chance to see. Now, Aquarians, if you were born in January 19, 20, 21, the early parts of January, Pluto will be there this year and next year. It might take 3 years, but it will be on your sun sign at one point in the next couple of years. Let's say that. You will notice you get deeper. You pull in a little bit. You analyze a little bit. You feel more powerful, but you finally are able to pierce through some of the blocks that you can't see. See, it's easy to show somebody where their blind spot is from out here, but y'all don't, we forget. It's very easy to forget how committed people are to their realities, how committed we are to whatever lie or truth we tell ourselves. We get committed to it. It becomes a part, it comes built in. And I'll never forget, I went to dinner with my dad. He came to visit right before he had a stroke, and me and John took him to dinner. And I remember asking him, because me and my mom had a big, we had a moment in our relationship where I was hiding her amphetamines. And it became this big joke. Like I would hide them. She'd fill out another prescription pad. She had a big pad, a prescription pad that she forged, right? And it was all those things that you like can't, as a child, you can't talk about, and as an adult even, it was very difficult to say. Like when you talk about it as an adult, you look, God, your mother was really like fucked up. And you don't say that out loud. I mean, that sort of puts them in a boat and people will think bad, whatever it is that families do. So I'm talking to my dad with John at this table, and he goes, your mom never was addicted to drugs. What was that whole thing about? And my mouth... And John looked at me, I'll never forget, because this was like a big part of my life, fighting her over the prescriptions and hiding the pills. I mean, I had them. I know what I'm talking about. I was being a righteous bratty kid, but I was also trying to punish her. And when he said that, there she was not. What are you talking about? She had no drug addiction. And I go, you really don't, like, no amphetamine, nothing, nothing? He goes, no. And John looked at me like, don't say another word. And my dad went to the bathroom, and John said, denial is powerful, and it can freak people out, and there's no need in freaking him out. You get nothing out of this. It was the best advice in the world. But I was flabbergasted, because that made me feel more alone than I could ever have felt. Like, not only am I living this reality with just me alone facing what a truth is, I'm like, there's no witness. And so it was an interesting moment. But when he said that to me, I realized when people have a commitment to something, like I told you, my friends walked out of the room, we had our political discussion, they can't talk. We can't talk. And I kicked so many people out of my house because I can't talk. When you're that stuck in your reality, then it's not only your reality, it's your deepest religion. It's the deepest fabric of how you've woven things together, and we can't change that. You have to change it. Nobody out here can. And so we burn people off. Like, you keep people out. This is so Aquarian. Burn people off. Keep them at bay who speak different language than you, who have a different belief than you. Look how tribal the world has become. I don't think it's going to get any better. I mean, I don't think the tribalism stops. I think it stops one person at a time. I mean, if you want to stop it, you stop it. I'm no longer believing that over half of the country is delusional. I'm not going to believe that. They're nice people. There are people who help and care and understand living day to day. And so it's up to us in some way to make sure wherever your trigger is, whatever it is that's sort of keeping you locked into what you believe, that you can be flexible enough to notice that you're doing that, A. Because I remember the woman I kicked out of my house, she said, well, politics is clearly your religion. And I said, yeah, it is. And you're, what did I say? And you represent the blasphemy of it, whatever. I was just indignant. And I get it. I mean, I see it and I understand why. And I also don't hate myself for it, which is another thing. It's what we do to survive. It's what I put together to believe my reality was set in. And if that's how I have to do it, then I did it. And I don't, you know, you do what you do. If you have to burn people off, if you have to burn me off because I'm not where you want me to be, you have to do that. It's up to me not to be so dependent on you that I need to keep you in that place. Like, no, okay, I get it. You got to go. Go spread your wings and be. Sometimes it's really important that we see that people see the world our way. And I know that's how we used to define friendship. But let me tell you, in this new Pluto in Aquarius age, it's not going to be as tribal. I think the divisions will be there, but I think it's going to be more personal. I think you're going to decide who you want in, who you want out. And I don't know that it's going to be based on one criteria. We'll see. But you have to do that for yourself. Jupiter is in Gemini right now. Bridges can be built. There can be communication. There can be established way. And, you know, sometimes the agreement is we can't talk about it. Gemini hates that. But sometimes the topic is so toxic that it's like, and somebody is so immersed in it. And think about this. Who do you know that needs you to believe what they see? The number one thought I have when I ask that question is a religious person, a zealot. Somebody who is so deeply immersed, and I think of Doreen Virtue, who sort of betrayed the New Age community by becoming a born again and then using it as a weapon against everyone she ever trained. And I'm not afraid to talk about that. I don't care. I'm not trying to disparage her. I'm just saying the facts are she became a born again and then accused everyone who took her classes, everyone who proselytized angels, who worked with them, as blasphemous, as going to hell. And in that, in that movie that happened there, and in that sort of watching that unfold, I had people in my own staff to quit on me because they didn't like how I was presenting it, just like I'm doing it now, except I was probably a little more angry, but it didn't matter. I don't care. I don't like how you're talking about Doreen. Okay, that's how we do it about, I don't like how you're talking God's name in vain, or I don't, whatever it is, it's as close to religion as you can get. And if you're that much committed to this thing, this ideal that you hold, then it has become your religion, which I didn't see, and you may not see, and you may not be doing it. But it is important to notice. Are you willing to cut people off for this, or does it matter? Do I need people to agree with me? Am I that desperate? For me, I mean, I know a lot of people do need people to agree with them, and they're terrified when people don't. But is it really that important? Can we find common ground, or is it just all or nothing? And I know it's fun when we commiserate and we get to all agree, this is good, this is bad, this is great, this is not, whatever. But times are changing, and Aquarius is really calling out the individuality in all of us. And you know how that we don't want to be a part of a group under Aquarius. We don't want to be identified with a group. And I've told you this before, I've never felt so politically homeless because I don't like a lot of these people on a lot of sides. So I've discovered voices that I do love, and I do appreciate intelligent voices. I do. I find people that I think are fabulous, but I don't need to sell you on it. Don't want to sell you on it. I want to be able to laugh with you, enjoy life with you, talk about astrology with you and things like this with you. Without the worry that there's a hidden thing, because y'all can turn this off anytime you want. You can walk away anytime you want. It's your prerogative. It's your gift. It's how it's set up. And in this new age coming, because it is a new age, I can promise you, this year particularly, wow. And I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about energetics of the planets. Neptune going into Aries, Pluto going into Aquarius, Saturn going into Aries and Uranus going into Gemini, they're all changing. It's so fun. You've heard this a million times, and we're going to walk you through each one of those. But for right now, wherever you have Aquarius in your chart, if you have it in your, and I'll go through them with you, if you have it in your first house, you do like to find a way to be unique, to be different, to be unusual. You fight for that. It's important to your soul for that. And the more planets you have there, the more unique it needs to be. And so you'll find Aquarius risings either looking like, I want to say, like an Amish, fully clothed, all the way up to the top. If the world's getting too sexual, you'll find the Aquarius rising dressing like a nun. Let me say that as an example, whatever to validate. In the second house, it's like you'll find you're looking deeply for ways to transform your sense of value. And it can't come from the normal things. And those of you with Aquarius on the second house cusp who are probably, you don't have to be, but you're probably a Pisces rising. Let me pull up the wheel so I can do this right. No, you're probably a Capricorn rising and you have Aquarius in the second house. And so if you're a Capricorn rising, you probably have it there. You probably find unique ways. And the sun being there, you'll be looking at your money. You'll be looking at your resources. But you'll also be looking at creative ways in which to enhance those. If you're a Sag rising, Aquarius probably rules your third house. Doesn't have to, but it probably does. And in the third house, we look at like our siblings and our immediate environment, like what books we're reading, the information that we're putting in our heads. Maybe learning doing a second class at school at night just pay attention to how you're doing media, how you're doing information. Maybe you're going to start a radio show at 1-2 Radio. If you have Scorpio rising, you probably have Aquarius in the fourth, and that's where you have an unusual sort of relationship to home. I have it there. So I'm thinking, gosh, if you had it there, you probably had an absent father or maybe a dictatorial father. But more than that, you probably had an unusual home. It was different. Ours was certainly different. Dad came home every day at 3. Mom worked. They both worked. She was a secretary. He was a counselor. And he came home at about 3:30, and dinner was usually scrambled eggs, and cereal. I mean, it was just light, easy, but it was unusual. I didn't mind the growing up part in that sense, because both of them were gone. It was great. Like, oh, good. But we got into the house on our own, walked to school on our own, got dressed on our own. There was one picture that went viral of me in the West Virginia newspaper. I was in the 7th grade, and I had from head to toe, I found the picture on an old magazine in the newspaper. I went to the archives and found it. I'm still trying to remember if I know I saved it. But anyway, it was exactly as I remembered it. I had a trumpet, I had my backpack, but it wasn't on my back. I was loaded, and it was 6 inches of snow. And my coat was wide open. My hat wasn't all the way secured. And they had me walk through snow, this photographer, to show, like, they caught this image of winter in West Virginia. And I got in so much trouble for it because Mom was embarrassed that I wasn't properly secured for winter because she wasn't there. Like, we dressed ourselves, right? So, fourth house. Fifth house, maybe an unusual relationship to children, maybe an unusual relationship to how you do your romance, like fantasies that are really unique. How you have fun, very unusual. And again, maybe a distant, if not unusual, relationship to children. That's something for you to look at. But during this cycle, we'll be looking at the creative urge reemerging inside of you. And during the fourth house cycle, we'll be looking at if you're pulling in a little bit and creating ways inside the home. Like, maybe it's time for me to paint those kitchen cabinets, right? If you get to the sixth house, then we're going to be looking at taking care of your health, your routine, your ritual. So a little more focus there. Pluto might be 7 years before it enters one of these houses. It depends. It's only at one right now. So you have to look at the number on the outside of the house. We're going to leave Pluto out for a minute. But the sun traveling through there, we're going to notice in the sixth house, your ritual and routine. You're going to be looking at, should you be changing it? And maybe your diet. So take a look at that sixth house energy and see what happens to you there. Maybe you need to take care of somebody else with the sixth house being there. Seventh house, your relationships. Are they starting to annoy you, or are you starting to appreciate them? It could go either way with Aquarius there. And are your relationships unusual? They should be. If you have seventh house Aquarius, they should be different. You shouldn't have a normal relationship, quote unquote normal. And the new normal is whatever it is you have, but it will be unusual. And those are often long distance relationships and relationships that might be just not defined by standard norms. The eighth house is usually where we get a little more, it's a little trickier. It's a little more obsession oriented. It's a little more fear oriented. So if the sun's entering there and you're starting to be afraid, that's why you're looking at like, oh, what am I afraid of? And it's a good chance to look into it a little deeper. It can also have to do with how you have intimacy. Again, unusual. You guys could be really kinky. It doesn't matter. We don't have to out you. But you could have like really unusual taste in the bedroom. And you could also have some unusual ways that you make money. So that's a fun one to think about. And that would be if you had Leo rising would be Aquarius on the 7th. And then Leo rising is Aquarius on the 7th. And so then if we tick this, it would be Cancer rising. So Cancer rising would put Aquarius on the 8th. And then on the 9th, if you're 9th house Aquarius, you definitely are brilliant. You love learning. You love the overview. You probably enjoy teaching. All those things are going to come back up for you. Speaking of teaching, I would be remiss if I didn't remind you guys that for the first time in years, Kat is teaching a new kind of psychic development class. It's going to involve the Tarot. It is over at 1-2 Academy, and when I say involve the Tarot, it's not a Tarot class. She wants you to have a deck of cards, and she's going to take you in a different way than normal. It's called Awaken the Divine Within You, An Extraordinary Journey Beyond the Tarot. So we had a long talk about it. It's kind of brilliant. I was really impressed with how much work she's put into it. I am going to bring it into the room and post it there for you because I think you might enjoy taking it. I don't know if this link will work, but we'll get it. You can at least take a link. But also, because it's on 1-2 Academy, you can just go to 1-2 Academy and enjoy the show. That would be, and you can take it live, and you don't have to commit to anything. But you can take the first one. She's charging an exorbitant amount of money for it. It's $35, and she's being gracious about it. She doesn't want to put people off. She wants people to feel like she is contributing and that she's there for them. She had a really good perspective on it that I really appreciated. So if you are interested, I'm posting it now. It'll be in the room. And otherwise, go to 1-2 Academy and take a look. I'm going to see how y'all are doing, and then we'll close out. Oh, I got to finish, don't I? 10th house. If it's at your 10th house, 9th house, love of teaching. Learn something, take something new, but we're going to activate and also travel. You might be traveling to some unusual places over the next 30 days, but this happens every year. So at this time, if you get a travel bug, it's why. 10th house, if your Aquarius is the 10th house, unusual mother, depending on where your Uranus is, how she was to you, but that doesn't mean bad at all. It just means that might have been brilliant. Could have been loopy, could have been all there, nobody home, who knows? But it also has to do with your career, your focus of career. So those of you with Aquarius at the very top of your chart, which would probably, doesn't have to, but it probably puts Taurus at the rising, those of you with that setup are definitely looking at what's happening in the career. And if Pluto is close to that point, oh my goodness, you are in for a elevation for real. Bigger than what you've already experienced with Jupiter trining all that. So we'll talk more about it. I promise as time goes on, 11th house is always about friends, and colleagues, coworkers too, but friends, really what you consider friends. And you people with Aquarius and the 11th, you have very unusual friends. if you have any at all. You have unusual friends, different friends, friends that really see the world your way differently, or maybe they see it all differently and you love them for that. You also have an ideal, a humanitarian ideal that probably needs to get fulfilled, and you'll probably be working on it during this time. And in the 12th house, because it's the loner house, it is the house where maybe dreams, fantasies, ideals start cooking, and you start pulling in a little to retrieve those. So if you're into a meditation journey, I think it might be fun for you to play a little bit with closing your eyes and seeing where what comes up, having some still time, and then get ready for when it starts popping into Pisces, where you start coming out a little bit. But you might be pulling in. Don't be afraid of it. All right. How are we doing? I think we're almost – yeah, we have 5 minutes. So I'm going to check the room again, see if you guys have any questions. I wanted to – I know I remember I was digressing there for a minute, and I wanted to, but I pulled myself back, and then I forgot what I was digressing to. So let me see how you guys are doing. Okay. I have to change when you click comments. Remember, go to the top of the comments page and change most relevant to all comments, which is what it should default to. Let us sort it through, but whatever. Joni, good to hear your insights. Mark is always so insightful. Thanks, Joni. Thank you, Aquarius Moon here. Yeah, Joni, that's great. So you might be more emotional during these times, and then Pluto eventually hitting that moon. One of the most powerful transits I ever had. We'll talk more about it as we get closer. Pamela says, don't know why and don't care. Feeling good today. I'll take it. Yes. Yes. don't analyze it. Can't Mark. Karen says, Mark, I would never leave you a note about your show, but I would like to send a note to those who do. Cancer Rising, don't mess with my people. You know what? You reek of this amazing fortress of love and support for the people you love. It comes through loud and clear, Karen. And I so appreciate that in you. It's really sweet. And thank you. It's lovely. Kathleen Nicholson's in the house. Kat, I didn't even see you. And I just talked about your show. Thanks for teaching it. I hope you'll talk about your show. Not your show, your class. I know you'll be talking about it on your show. So thanks for visiting in, dropping in. Hey, Chris, Diana, I'm thinking that all people are delusional sometimes. I know I have my moments. Girl, I so hear you. Sometimes I just know that it's for the – oftentimes I think, God, Mark, you're just so out of the loop of these people. I'm a Sun-Uranus conjunction, an honorary Aquarian. So I feel like I was born at the wrong place, wrong time. I never feel like I fit in. The minute a group starts developing, I'm the odd guy out. I feel weird. I don't know how to deal with any of that. And then you just end up going, that's how you always feel. Relax. You know, that's your norm. Relax. And then quit – trying to do something with it, right? Pamela says, I think only being friends with those who share our beliefs and opinions will only lead to loneliness. It's kind of lonely. It gets kind of like, that's why I think we're so hungry for sometimes a petty tyrant to show up so we have someone to scream at. Don't agree with me. Let's talk. Let's figure out why, but be intelligent. Like, don't, you know what I hate in an argument? Google it. Google it. Like, you give me a fact and I'm supposed to go Google it. Well, I'm going to right then and there. Well, okay, stop right there. Let me go Google it. We're going to find out. Sarah says, Mark, my Aquarius is in both the 7th and the 8th, Cancer Rising. Yes. Okay, so perfect. Sarah, you have an intercepted chart, which means that Aquarius is both on the 7th and the 8th. Okay. To be clear, you can't have a Cancer Rising if Aquarius is the ruler of the 7th. So what we have to do is – oh, wait. Siri's answering that. So I don't know what I said. I might have said Sarah. She heard Siri. Okay. So we're talking about the ruler on the line of the cusp. If you have Aquarius on that line of the 7th, you have to have a Leo Rising. If you have Aquarius in that 7th house because you have a Capricorn on the 7th, but – it's late Capricorn, so all the Aquarius falls in there. That's a little different story. So you want to go to the cusp, the line, and what sign is on that. If Aquarius is on both 7th and 8th, as you stated, then you're a Leo rising. And all the better, because you can handle it. All right. You guys know I love you. And it's cold, and I know we're having a cold blast across the country, so I hope you're staying pretty snug as a bug. Unless you're in South Florida, you're probably doing pretty good. which I think Kat is. So, Kat, you have to talk about your weather, see how it's doing. They're I think it might be freezing for them, too. It's like, I think it's 60 down there. You guys, so the week ahead, we have Scorpio Moon later this afternoon, like coming very soon. So pay attention to that. It'll feel a little more comfortable because it's going to trine all that water, the water planet. So I think emotionally we'll feel a little more able to navigate instead of we're hoping not to go underwater and then you realize you can breathe underwater. It's good. So do that. And please, this week, stay centered. Let's enjoy. Happy Martin Luther King Day. I'm so sorry I didn't pay homage to him in a greater way. I adore the man. I adore what his conviction was. I just dreamt, literally, get this, about Mahalia Jackson and how close she was to him. And she was screaming at him in the crowd because I saw the documentary last year and how much she got him to trigger that I Have a Dream speech because he was getting all nervous and discombobulated and she yelled at him. And I love Mahalia Jackson from when I was a little boy watching Imitation of Life with my brother and her mother, and they're all crying and they're daring me not to cry over how this child is running after her mother crying. You have to watch Imitation of Life with Lana Turner sometime and think of me. You guys, you're a blessing to me. Thank you so much for all you do. Have a beautiful week. I'll be back next week with more astrological news. I promise we're going to sort this out. And enjoy the week ahead. Happy birthday, Aquarians. It's going to be good. It's going to be really good.